So we're going to continue. We're going to continue our study tonight in the book of Acts. And let's just commit this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we we just come before you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks to us so powerfully. It renews our mind, our hearts, Lord. Father, continue to disciple us. Allow us to be, teach us to be more in your image. Father God, we just commit everything to you. We lay everything at your altar. We love you very, very much. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 So guys, so last week we learned about Paul and how he went to Corinth. And Corinth, if you guys remember, it's this it's a political capital of that time. It was thriving. Corinth was known for their worship of Aphrodite, which is the goddess of fertility. And while Paul's there, he meets Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila is a male. Priscilla, obviously, female. And they are a Christian couple. They were just sold out for God. They were on fire. They supported Paul's ministry, and they were all about spreading the gospel. And while Paul's there, he's trying to teach the Jews, but they still have this hardened heart. They don't want to listen, and he sees very few results. So he's like, you know what? Well, I'm going to go teach the Gentiles there. And he sees a little bit more results. The Gentiles are more open to the Word of God. And then we see that Paul he's returning to Antioch, and this is where we're going to start tonight's study. As we see Paul's journey, and if you look there on the screen, we're going to be in Acts chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. Again, Acts chapter 18. Verses 18 through 23. And we're going to take a look at four cities that Paul visited on his way to Antioch. So if you have your little note paper, title of the message, four cities that Paul visited on his way to Antioch. How many of you guys like or love to travel? How many of you guys are travelers here? Yeah? Raise your hand. Who likes to travel here? I'm going to put a picture there on the screen. How many of you guys want to be there right now? All right. So all my travelers, where are my travelers at? Mexicali does not count as traveling, okay? Just throwing that out there. So again, we're going to be looking at four cities that Paul has visited on his way to Antioch. And here we're going to be looking at Paul's second church planting missionary journey. So he goes on three. We're going to be looking at here at two as his second journey. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, we're going to start off with verse 18. And it says here, so Paul still remained a good while. He remained in Corinth, right? So Paul still remained here a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. So we know from Acts 18:11 that Paul, he stayed in Corinth for about 18 months. And he was working there. He's a tent maker. He's got his little business there, and he's preaching to the Jews. He's preaching to the Gentiles. He's sharing about Jesus as the Christ, and that was a very important stay for him to be there, especially for that amount of time, because what he was doing is he was planting there. He was strengthening the church. And when we take a look at discipleship, I mean, it takes time. It takes time to disciple people. If you take a look back at your walk, maybe maybe for most of us, it wasn't like an overnight switch. Like, it took time. We had to, you know, go to church and plug in and have God's word renew our minds. So discipleship could take time. And Paul knew this. You know, Paul knew that it takes time. I've been meeting with this one friend of mine, and it's been like a 2-year process. We've been having lunch here and there, and I'm just like, man, Lord, like, you know, I'm pouring into this guy. I could see some changes, but like, oh, Lord, I'd really like to see some fruit here. And again, it's been a 2-year journey, and just recently he tells me, like, hey, Pete, so I think I'm ready to be baptized. And I'm just like, praise God, you know, two years of meeting with this guy and just encouraging him, loving on him, to finally, like, you see the fruit and you're like, wow. So discipleship, you know, discipleship takes time. And I'm really, really excited for this guy to see what God is going to do in his life, you know, and it's just a reminder that, like, we, you know, for us, like, we want to see results, like, immediately. Like, we can be very impatient, and that's just not the way it works most of the time. Like, we have to invest in people and spend time with them and allow the Holy Spirit to work on their hearts and their minds. And I've seen that in my personal life with the discipleship stuff that I've done over the years. I mean, I just recently finished an 18-month program at Calvary Chapel University. That was pretty awesome. But again, it was 18 months, guys. It was not easy. Had to write some papers, and in school, man, I mean, I never, I don't know. Did you guys, who here liked English classes in school? Anybody, any English? No? One person, right? How about math? Math. You guys, anybody math? See, we have a couple more. But English, yeah, English is not easy, and especially when you have to write these 7-10-page papers. Thank God for Word document has a spell check, because it's not easy. But I'm very, very glad that I'm done with that. But you know, that again, that school took time, right? It wasn't a 3-month program. Again, discipleship takes time. And discipleship is something that is very, I'm very passionate about. I mentioned a couple Sundays ago that now that I'm done with my classes, God has put in my heart to help launch, you know, a discipleship school here. So we're looking to start somewhere around September. So be excited for that. Be open to that, to step out in faith. You know, because God calls us to produce fruit. God doesn't call us to be comfortable, to just be seat warmers. No, He wants us to be disciples, right? The Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples. So He wants us to be disciples first, and then we go out there and disciple others. So most likely that program is probably going to be somewhere between 18 to 24 months. Again, discipleship takes time. We don't expect things to happen like overnight. It's a gradual process, so just be on the lookout for that. Have an open heart to want to get discipled, because if not, then you're gonna want to feed it with something else. Your schedule with life, the busyness of the world, and it's like God's gonna be like, hey, what about my kingdom? Like, when are you gonna start building my kingdom? So again, just have an open heart about that. And what I love about what Paul does here, again, he spent about 18 months in Corinth, and most likely he was building leadership there, you know, with the locals, with the congregation. And we see him here now, he's getting ready to take off to Syria, as it says there. And Syria, if you don't remember, if you don't know, so Syria was like his home base, particularly Antioch. That was like the first major Christian Gentile church that was founded there. So, as Paul's coming back to Syria, this basically is like his official end of his second missionary journey. Who here, let me ask you a question, who here has gone on a mission trip before? Anybody, any mission trip? Okay, and who has not gone on a mission trip yet? Okay, very cool. Just kind of want to understand the dynamics of it, but yeah. Highly recommend to check out a mission trip. We have one coming up in 2 weeks. If you can't make it, I'm pretty sure we'll have some more in the future, but there's so much fun, guys. There's so much fun, and you really get to experience just a small glimpse of what the disciples did as they went out there and they did outreaches and they spread the gospel. So highly recommend that you attend a mission trip. So back to our text here. So we see here that that Paul, he's getting ready to set sail, and as we see there, he's going to take Priscilla and Aquila with him. Again, this is this strong Christian married couple. This couple is committed to the mission. They're committed to spreading the gospel. They're just really dedicated. And I love here how was this married couple and how they were doing ministry together, right? They weren't just some married couple that, you know, they come to church and they kind of play this, you know, they check the boxes. No, like they were a married couple who wanted to work together. They wanted to spread the gospel. And it's a really beautiful thing to see when you see a married couple serving together. And as we see here in the last part of this verse is the first city that Paul visits. You want to put that up on the slide there, Andy? For you note takers, so the first city that he visits is Paul visited Cenchrea. So you might put that on your notes. That is the first city that he visits, and what does he do there? I mean, when he gets there, does he go to the beach? Does he go have tacos? No. What does it say there? What does he do? At the end of verse 18, what does he do? What does it say there? He cut his hair. Yes. How many of you guys have cut your own hair before? Anyone? Did it come out like that? No? The Spanish translation to when you cut your own hair, that's called a trasquilada. That's a trasquilada right there, when you try to attempt and cut your own hair. So, man, speaking about haircuts, they've gone up. They've gone up in price. I remember when you used to cut your hair for like $6, $10. Now it's $25, $30 to cut your hair. Ooh, it's getting expensive. Mexicali, still affordable if you guys want to go. Cut your hair and you get some tacos, flautas for about the same price. Steve's like, yeah. I just went to go cut my hair and my kid's hair too the other day. Just got some tacos. But where are my, any bald, handsome men here? Jesus? No, Jesus. Oh, there we go. Ray's got it. Yeah. I'll bring up the next picture there. Well, lucky for you guys, you save a lot of money by not having to cut your hair. But why does Paul cut his hair here? Was he stressed out? Was he full of anxiety? And actually, so there was an Old Testament Jewish practice. And it was called the Nazirite vow, and this vow, it would say that you had to not drink wine, you had to avoid contact with the dead, and you couldn't cut your hair until you completed this vow. So most likely, probably Paul here, he was probably fulfilling a vow. He probably made a vow to God. So he's like, okay, I'm done. So I'm gonna cut my hair. And this also helped him because he was still connected to his Jewish cultural connections. You know, even though He was spreading the gospel about Jesus, right? But he still wanted to connect with the Jews, and he wanted them to know that, hey, like, I still have a connection to you guys, and that would allow him to be able to, you know, go to the synagogues and freely connect with other Jews so he can freely share the gospel here. So let's continue our verse-by-verse study here. And we're going to take a look at verses 19 through 21. 19 to 21. It says here, "And he came to Ephesus, and he left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, 'I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing.' And he sailed from Ephesus." So verse 19, for you note takers, this leads us to the next city that Paul visited. And that's there on the screen. Is number two is Paul visits Ephesus. For you note taker again, Paul visits Ephesus. And we see here that Paul's visiting this city for the first time. Ephesus is known as a very significant city in Asia Minor at that time. It had a big population, lots of influence, just like El Centro. So Paul visits this city and he does something pretty cool here with Priscilla and Aquila. What does it say here? What does he do? What does he do with them? Does he take them with him, or what does he do? He leaves them. Why does he do that? Like, does he not want to hang out with them anymore? No. This really shows that Paul, he trusted them. He trusted them. He placed the responsibility upon them. And this is, I love this. I love Paul's leadership here, right? Because when you raise someone up, you want to give them authority. You trust that they're going to steward the ministry faithfully. They're going to continue. I love that that Pastor Pete does that here with us, right? A perfect example is this Wednesday night, right? He's not always able to make it. He's here tonight, you know, but he's not always here to make it. But he trusts all of us here, all of us who are serving here, that, hey, like, that we're going to steward, you know, the word of God, that we're gonna teach sound doctrine, and he trusts us, and I love that about that. He's able to give authority, and we see Paul do the same thing with Priscilla and Aquila, and as a church, guys, we want to see more of you. We want to see more of you step up and lead, right? I mean, I would love to be able to see more teachers here. Ministry leaders, future church planners, right? And us, we're the ones that are gonna, you know, the ones that could potentially, God can use that if you are open, right? And the other thing is, we're talking about that a lot, is the discipleship. Are you open to be discipled? And again, that's why we're gonna launch this school in September, so we can help you get equipped. We could just see God just work through you and raise you in your specific calling with your specific gifts. So we're pretty excited about that. But back to our text here. So what happens next? All right, we see here that Paul, as he'd like to do, you know, he'd like to, whenever he went to go visit cities, one of the first things he'd do is he'd love to go to the synagogues and share the gospel. And we see here in verse 20 that the Ephesians, right, they're inviting him. They're saying, "Man, Paul, please stay longer with us. Like, we really enjoy your messages." I mean, they're really absorbing everything. They're really hungry. And despite the invitation, though, Paul, he's like, you know what? I can't, like, right? He had other commitments, right? He was being guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is a really good lesson here for all of us, guys. And this is something that I had to learn myself. Because I have a lot of ambition, and I want to go 1,000 miles an hour sometimes, but you know, because I see so much spiritual harvest out there, so many opportunities, but I know for myself, like, I have to be very careful, because one thing I've learned is that I have to be led by calling, not by needs, and what I mean by that is, like, there's so many needs out there, guys. There's homeless ministries, there's children's ministry, women's, orphanage ministries. I mean, the list goes on. But you have to be careful that not to say yes to every single thing, that you become ineffective, that you get burnt out. Because, again, there's going to be a lot of needs. But is God calling you to that? So you have to really be discern and listen to him and be like, is God calling me to this? Like, you have to stay really laser focused. I really like this acronym about staying focused. I can put there on the screen. I've come to realize that the word focus is, I like this acronym that says, follow one course until successful. Again, follow one course until successful. One of the greatest assets right now, guys, I believe, is the ability to stay focused. There's so many distractions right now from the world, from the media, politics, just so much going on right now. And it's very easy to get distracted. And we got to stay focused on this kingdom mindset, right? We got to stay focused on God's word. Like, where's the Holy Spirit calling me? Where's the Holy Spirit calling you, right? You have to be attuned to the Holy Spirit, to the guidance, right? To the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I want to bring up there on the screen, there's four ways that God is going to speak to you. Number one, through his word, the Bible, all right? Some of us have to go home and dust off the Bible because we haven't been opening it. It's been sitting there. God's like, I just want to hang out with you. I want to hang out with you. I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me intimately. That is how he's going to speak to us, through his Bible. Second, through the Holy Spirit. Right, we've been given the Holy Spirit that dwells in us for conviction, to give us guidance, to give us mentorship, wisdom. Right, we have to listen to that small, still voice that speaks to your heart. Right, that's been telling you, hey, you know, I want you to get baptized. I don't know what you're waiting for. You know, it's been months, years. Like, what are you waiting for? Or that ministry that he's put in your heart. He's like, hey, come on, ponte las pilas. Come on, get up. When are you going to do it? Like, someday, tomorrow, never? No, he's telling us, guys, he's saying, come on, get up. Number three, God's going to speak to us through wise, godly counsel. All right? We have so many elders here. You got Pastor Pete, what, 45 years in the ministry? 46? More? Woo! 48 years in the ministry. When I meet with Pastor Pete on my one-on-one, I love it. Like, sometimes I get cut up but I get so much wisdom and it's the love that he pours into me, and I'm just like, wow, like, so much godly counsel, guys. You got Andy, got Dale, who's a prayer warrior. We have so many people here. Steve, so many people. Ray, that can give you godly, wise counsel. Don't try to do life on your own, guys. Don't isolate yourself. Like, reach out to to us here so that we can pray for you, so we can encourage you. And lastly, God is going to speak through circumstances, right? If you haven't already known, but you know, God will definitely teach you a lot of lessons in those tough seasons of circumstances when things are just not happening. You're just like, Lord, I don't know why. I'm just getting hit from every direction. And that's where you really have to be like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me, Lord? Like, what area in my life do I have to let go? What sin am I holding on to? Like, don't be that victim mentality. Like, Lord, poor me. Like, why is this happening? No, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this season? And he will just give you so much wisdom without reproach, as the book of James says. When you're going through trials, says, hey, ask freely and he will give you without reproach. It means he's just giving you wisdom on how to go through those trials. So through your circumstances, God's going to speak through you. So use discernment. Use discernment, because sometimes declining invitations, it's necessary, because God puts maybe some greater responsibilities or callings that he doesn't want you to go over there. He's like, no, I've called you over here. So use discernment on that, just like Paul does here. Paul does here in 21. Let's take a look at that. It says here, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. So we see here that Paul, he's concluding his time here in Ephesus. And he says, hey, like, I got to go. I have to keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. What was Paul talking about here when he said these coming feasts? Well, Paul was referring to the three major festivals, the Passover, the Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacles, right? He didn't want to miss them, again, because Paul had a very, very clear mission to share the gospel. And Paul, he had his deep Jewish roots, right? By him going to these festivals, it's going to put him in front of other Jews where he can go out there and continue to spread the gospel. Because again, he wanted to let them know, hey, like, you know, I'm all about Jesus here, but you know, I still do some of these Jewish traditions, because he wanted to connect with his Jewish, you know, with the Jewish people. And speaking about Passover, really cool. We celebrated the Passover meal at our home, and it was really cool to kind of experience like the whole Jewish tradition. We even had the triclinium table there. We had the siddur. It was a really beautiful night. Sorry guys, if I didn't invite you. As you can see, I only had limited seats, but maybe next year we could do, you know, one with the whole church, and I don't know. We'll talk about it. But if you guys are open to something like that, it'd be kind of cool to have a Passover dinner, so we can celebrate Jesus as our Passover lamb. So Paul wanted to connect with the Jews, and we see here that Paul is going to go on to his next trip. And before we go there though, speaking about trip, I want to share a picture there of a screen. So I want to share a story of this. This reminds me of this time that this businessman named Larry, right? Larry's traveling, and he calls the airline, and he had a question about the documents that he needed in order to fly to China, because he had some business meetings out there. So Larry, after this lengthy discussion he had with, you know, one of the tech support people from the airlines, he's talking about passports, but Larry was told that he needed a visa, and Larry's like, no, I don't. Like, he tells us, like, no, I don't. I don't need a visa. He's like, I've been to China many times and I've never had to have one of those. And the person at the airline's like, double checked, going through the computers, and she's like, sure enough, he's like, yeah, sir, you require a visa. And when they told Larry that he needed a visa, he's like, look, I've been to China 4 times, and every time they've accepted my American Express. Get it? Visa, American Express. Man, I'm glad you guys like that one. But seriously, guys, here, let's take a look at verse 22. And it says here that, when he, Paul, landed at Caesarea and had gotten up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. So Caesarea is a major port city. It was an important hub for travel, for trade. Where you see there in the verse that says that he gone up. So when he was traveling through Jerusalem is on an elevated position. So that's what it means that he was going up. And he goes there to meet the early church leaders. Most likely he's probably sharing the news about his missionary journey. He's telling them about what God is doing in the ministry. And then it says there that he went down. So again, Jerusalem is in a higher elevation. So as he's traveling, basically any time that you travel outside of Jerusalem to any other location, you're basically going down. Does that make sense? So Jerusalem was a higher, that's why you see there that he'd gone up and then he went down. So, and as he's going through this journey, this is where we're going to see the third city that he visited. So for you note takers, that's number 3. Is that the third city that he's going to visit is Antioch. And most likely, this journey here, we're looking at about 13 to 15 day journey to Antioch. And this is Antioch. This was his the starting point of his missionary journeys. Right? We saw that Paul and Silas they were sent out of there and they traveled to many places planting churches in what is today modern day Europe. So they're going through modern day Europe and then they're coming back to Antioch. And this is where Paul's second he did a 2-year second missionary journey. It ends here. But again, it started in Antioch and then it ends in Antioch. So let's finish off our studies here, and we're going to see where Paul visited next. Verse 23, it says, after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples. So we see here that Paul's spending a little bit of time here at Antioch, and most likely he's engaging with the local community, right? Again, he's sharing updates of his missionary journeys. Most likely he's probably teaching, maybe taking care of some issues that were going on there. And here in verse 23 is where we're going to see the start of his third, and this is his longest missionary journey. So if you see, I want to bring up a picture there on the screen. So Antioch is towards, over here towards the right, where you see Syria. There you go. Yep. Thank you. And he's traveling through all those major cities, and he's going to finish off in Jerusalem. So this journey that you see there, it approximately took about 5 to 6 years. And do you guys know, let me ask you guys a question. Do you guys know where he stayed the longest? What place did he stay the longest? Raise your hand if you think that was Corinth. No? Raise your hand if you think that was Brawley. Let me see. Oh, wait. Raise your hand if you have no idea. Good. It was Ephesus. Raise your hand if you think it was Ephesus. All right. Yes, he spent 3 years there. And we see here that as Paul leaves Antioch, well, where does he go next? Right? We see that in verse 23. What does it say there? Right? For you note takers, number 4, he goes on the regions of Galatia and Phrygia. Note takers, again, Galatia and Phrygia. What's cool about this is that Paul had already planted churches here, right? So he's just going there to revisit the church plants. What did he do there? It says there that he, what did he do? He have tacos with them? No. He says that he was strengthening the disciples. Why did he do this? Why was he strengthening them? Maybe because we all need strengthening, right? We all need God to strengthen us, and then we can strengthen each other, right? God wants us to strengthen each other. God wants us to encourage one another. Look at what it says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 on the screen. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing, right? If you're an introvert, it's going to take stepping out of your comfort zone, right? Because there's people here that are waiting for your encouragement. They want to talk to you. They want to be lifted up. Don't isolate yourself, right? This is all our spiritual family. What are some ways that us as a church family, what are some ways that we can encourage each other? There on the screen. Number one, we can pray for each other. All right, that's why I love, you know, after the service that, right, we have people here that are praying for you. Wednesday nights, right, we have the smaller groups, so we're able to pray, you know, in the small groups. Number two is we can share words of encouragement. We can edify one another. Right? Like, hey, praise God, Andy. Man, Andy, thank you so much for serving. Like, you know, and man, God's just doing some amazing stuff in your life. Right? Again, make sure that God gets the glory, but encourage one another. Like, hey, I saw on your social media, you know, you took your family out on a hike. That's awesome. Hey, you know what? You're such a great father, like, that you spend time with your kids. Like, encourage one another. Number three, spend some time with each other, right? Not just fellowship here, but fellowship outside. Number four, tell somebody how blessed you are by that person or how this church has blessed you. By the way, if you want to encourage me, I love tacos, so just throwing it out there. But seriously, family, so, right, we have to encourage one another. And let me just lovingly challenge all of us here and are watching online. After Wednesday service or Sunday, guys, don't do the 100-yard antisocial dash and just, like, take off. Like, you know, don't be that sprint runner and be like, okay, the last worship song's playing. Let me get off my seat and go. Or, oh, Pastor Pete, walk to the back. Like, let me just take off already. No, like, stick around. Hang out. Fellowship. Encourage one another. Get encouraged. Pray for one another. Don't do the 100-yard dash. Unless you have an emergency or something, I totally get that. Right, sometimes we gotta do Costco runs and whatever, you know, get the $1.50 hot dog, whatever. You're hungry, but don't make it a habit, guys. Don't make it a habit where you just get up and like, no, right? We're here to, we gotta pray for one another, right? Encourage one another. Spend time with one another. Right? Tell somebody, hey, you know what? You've blessed me in this way, or not this church, right? Don't isolate yourself. So, guys. Thank you so much for being attentive. Let's give the good Lord just some applause tonight for his good word. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus, for your good word. Let's finish off in prayer here. And We always at the end we end with, you know, one of the most important questions that you'll ever have to answer, and that is, are you born again? Right? Because Jesus made it very clear. He says, I tell you the truth that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So if you're here or you're watching online for the very first time and you've never made that decision, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave the building without you know, asking God to come into your heart, right? Don't miss out on having the Holy Spirit dwell in you, right? If God has been tugging on your heart, be like, okay, it's time for you to acknowledge me as Lord and Savior. Let us know. Let us know so that we can pray for you. Let us know online, you know, how we can pray for you. Leave us a comment. So let's finish off in prayer here. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your good word, Lord. Thank you for just sharing the journey that Paul and Priscilla and Aquila and all these Silas, everybody, that just the amazing mission trip that they all went on. Father God, thank you so much for using Paul to spread the gospel. He's such an amazing example for all of us, Heavenly Father, of what it looks like to be on fire, to go out there in the marketplace and to spread your gospel, Heavenly Father, and to make you known, Jesus. So, Lord, just give us that same heart. Give us that hunger that Paul had, Father God. Take away any fear, any shyness, Lord, so that we can go out there. We can invite people to come hear your word on Sundays, on Wednesdays, Thursday with the Spanish ministry, Heavenly Father. We just pray for that, Lord. Let it grow here in the Imperial Valley, Heavenly Father. Thank you for Ray and John Berlario for them to step up in that, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your good word. Thank you for sharing a glimpse of what it looks like to be a disciple, Heavenly Father, through Paul, through Priscilla, Aquilas, through all the faithful men and women that have given us examples of what to do, Heavenly Father. So Lord, we thank you, and we just commit the rest of the night, and we love you very, very much, Lord, and we just pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.